Good to have everyone here in worship. I love the song earlier, Overcome, and how Christ has overcome all that we have ever experienced, all the sins that we have, and he has victory on the cross. And as for those of you who are here for the first time or who hasn't been here for a while, we've been going through a series called Breakthrough. Our theme for this coming church year is called Breaking Through and Moving Forward. And as I think about how Christ has overcome everything, things that we can't overcome on our own, because of that, we can experience breakthrough. This is a process that our church believes that really helps us to grow. And all of this has the same word connect. And periodically, I like to flash it up just to remind us of how can we become more and more like Christ? What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? What does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? And it starts out with connecting to God, connecting to other people, both Christians and non-believers, connecting to service for a church, outside of church, at home, at our workplace, and lastly, connecting ourselves to the world. Because the God that we believe in is not just the God of San Gabriel Valley. The God that we believe in is the God of the whole world. He has a plan before time began to redeem, to buy back the whole entire world so that we can spend eternity worshiping him together. And as we think about this process, this is what we're going to talk about for the next few weeks starting today. How can we break through in our spiritual life? How can we break through in our relationship with God? In our connection with God, in our relationship with God, how can we break through? And whenever we talk about this topic, I think one of the first things that we think of is, what am I supposed to do? Right? Break through in spiritual life. How do I grow in spiritual life? The usual message is, read more Bible, pray more, go to church more. There's a lot of kind of same thing. And as I think about it and ask them what really helps us to break through, as I was praying for this message, God led me to something that is completely different. It is an action. But rather than just doing this action, there's something more to it. Let me share a little one of my pet peeves to you. I get these chain emails that from my mother-in-law. And oftentimes, no offense to any Chinese lady, but tend to send a lot of these chain letters. And I get them, I finally got so tired of them that I start funneling them to a folder. So I start reading those chain letters. You don't know what it is. Usually, it's like, I start off with a title like, extremely important, do this. And let me give you an example. One of the emails I got from my mother is that, do not buy those butane stoves. They are cancerous. And they're made in China. They're cancerous. And then I look at that, I was like, are you serious? You know, I'm thinking, Mom, you have like three of those at home. And so the moment she read it, she said, oh, it's from the internet. It's forwarded to me from a bunch of my friends. It must be true. So let me forward it to me, to my sister, to my dad. And then later on that day, I got the same exact email from my mother-in-law saying the same exact thing. And then later on that night, I got the exact same email, same chain letter from one of my Hannah's aunts. And so, you know, I keep getting these, and I find it annoying because, you know, many times we just kind of look at it and say, oh, wow, I got it from my friends. It must be true. And I think sometimes we approach Christianity, our relationship with God, kind of the same way. Right? We kind of come to church or we go to conferences, we read books, let me be very careful saying this. What we share at church, hopefully, is the truth of God. And what we go to conference and what we hear is the truth of God. What we read from the Bible is the truth of God. But many times our Christianity is what I call a plug-and-play Christianity. Let me try everything else everyone's telling me to do. If one of those works, jackpot. If it doesn't work, let me keep trying everything else everyone's teaching me. And we start plugging and playing in many, many ways that people have taught us. But when I look at Scripture, what I see is that God doesn't tell Jesus when he died for us and gave us, he doesn't give us a formula. You do A, B, and C, then you get D. He gave us a relationship. A relationship is dynamic. It's interactive. There's talking, there's listening. There's interaction going on in that relationship with Jesus Christ. But when I look at sometimes in my own Christian walk, and when I look at the church, we see Christianity is, let's come to church and learn point one, A, B, and C, and then I apply it at home. It doesn't work. Next week, let me come back again, learn A, B, and C, another point, and apply. we lack that interaction with God. And when I think about breakthrough in our spiritual life, guess what? I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what you need to break through in your spiritual life. I don't know where you are in your Christian life. Maybe you're really mature, maybe you're not mature. I don't know what you're struggling with. But the good news is, guess what? God knows what you need to break through. God knows the barrier that's keeping you from expanding your faith, that barrier that can keep you from worshiping Him the way He deserves. And so as I thought about today's message, how can we experience breakthrough in our spiritual life? Instead of telling you the things that you all ought to do, all the spiritual disciplines that we all know, I want to share with you a way to hear from God what you need to do. I think for me, that's far more important, that we need to hear from the Lord ourselves. God, what do you need me to do to experience breakthrough in your life? And it does have to do with a discipline that many of us are unfamiliar with or have heard of and never tried, yet a very biblical discipline. The discipline that I'm talking about is fasting. How many of you have heard of fasting? How many have done fasting before? Okay, good. And fasting, you know, when I think about our world, all you can eat Korean barbecue, all you can eat sushi. Last week I asked my third grade Sunday school class, I asked them, what's your favorite food? Chinese food or sushi? All 10 of them went to sushi. And you know, we live in a world with abundant amount of food. Fasting is the exact opposite of what we want to do. We can pick up a phone call, call in an order. You know, we can get food anywhere we want. You know, late at night, early in the morning. Fasting is something that we're not used to. But yeah, as we look at scripture, it is a very, very common thing. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How does fasting allow us to not just do what everyone tells us to do, but really hearing what God wants us to do in your life and in my life? And that's what we're going to talk about, fasting. And as I think about God, you know, with this verse comes Jesus, how he deals with us in a relationship. He says, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not quench. I believe that Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, is very patient with us. He doesn't just say, I saved you, now you need to be changed. And he expects you to change overnight. But God, Jesus Christ, works with us every step along the way. And that's why it's important that we engage into this discipline called fasting, so that we can hear from what he has for us. Let me give you some examples. There are many examples of fasting. I was shocked, actually. I knew that there is fasting involved in the Bible, but there are a lot more than I imagined. First of all, we think about most of the people that you know in the Bible have fasted. Moses fasted 40 days and 40 nights while he was up in Mount Sinai receiving the law from the Lord. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Elijah fasted 40 days and 40 nights again as God dealt with him and preparing him to be his prophet for the rest of the world, for the Israelites. Esther, the queen, fasted because because the king Artaxerxes threatened to kill the whole people of Israel. And Queen Esther decided to call the whole people and say, let's fast together. Daniel, I just saw that last week with my kids, that he fasted from meat and all the great delicacies that that King Nebuchadnezzar had ordered them to eat, just so that make sure he's nice and fat and smart. And he chose to just eat vegetables and water. And he turned out just as smart and just as healthy as the rest of the people who ate. In the New Testament time, Jesus fasted again 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. He didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights. In fact, Jesus said this in his teaching, one of the main teachings Jesus had in Matthew chapter 6 about fasting. He said, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. We'll talk more about this later. But the key I want to point out to you is, he didn't say if you fast, but when you fast. And if you look at the passage before and after this, he's talking about prayer, he's talking about giving of money, he's talking about forgiving other people. Seems to me that according to Jesus, fasting is on par with all the other things that we think of as natural and normal in a Christian life. Forgiving other people, giving our money generously, praying. Fasting seems to be just as important as all the other things that we think of. And then Apostle Paul himself, Acts chapter 9, verse 9, he fasted without any food and any water as he heard from the Lord where he should go to minister to. Now, not only in the Bible, I'll give you more examples. In early part of our American history, some of you guys might have known this guy in your history book. Does anyone know? Jonathan Edwards. Good. He wrote the book. I'm not the wrote book. He preached a message called "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." And this preacher likely is in your American history book. And this is one of the more powerful sermons that he has ever preached, and it still today is impacting people. And he fasted for 22 days before preaching, 22 hours before preaching this message. In our history, in World War II, some of you might have known this, in a Dunkirk, World War II, something amazing happened. About 400,000 Allied soldiers were trapped right here when the Nazi Germany came and invaded this place. Normally, in the English Channel, it's a very rough sea. They basically have nowhere to go but to get conquered by the Nazi Germany. But on that day, the whole Britain came to a standstill. The BBC broadcast a day of fasting and praying. The whole nation fasted and prayed. On that Sunday, no one was out in the marketplace. And you can read that on the news. Google it. Winston Churchill called it the miracle of Dunkirk. On that day, the sea became calm. They can boats were coming on the shore and delivering and saved and rescued over 300,000 soldiers that would have normally been trapped and probably go to concentration camp. The power of fasting. And as we look at all these examples of fasting in the scripture, all these examples of fasting in the world, even today, there are many people who fast regularly for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the kingdom. So obviously, fasting brings a lot of power. But what is fasting? When you look through scripture, fasting simply means abstaining from food. And you look at different instances of fasting, it's simply abstaining, keeping away from food for a period of time. There are different types of fasts when we look at scriptures. I'll just give you some information. There are absolute fasts, meaning there's no food, no water. I'll give you an example of that. Paul, I said earlier, fasted for 3 days without food, without water, just to hear what God has to tell him, the direction he needs to take to serve God in the rest of his life. Normal fast. We've seen many examples of people fasting from food, but only drinking water. The example for that is Jesus fasted 40 days in the desert. It says, chapter 4, verse 2 says, he ate nothing. All he did was drink water. There are partial fasts. People who have, like Daniel, fasted from food, but he still drank water. He drank, he didn't drink wine. And some people drink juices. Some people also on partial fast. Some people didn't fast food. They fast from things that they feel like they're addicted to. They're controlled by. So there are all sorts of fasting. The scripture doesn't tell us specifically, you need to do this. You must fast for this long, you must fast from this. But the idea is this, that we are keeping away from food generally, or from things, or even from people sometimes. That's what fasting is about. And fasting is just so important. But I think one of the things that we need to understand is fasting is not the only, it's not only happening in Christianity or in the churches. You guys can probably think of many other examples of people fasting, right? People fast for their diets just to lose weight. People go on a hunger strike in front of a government or a cause. So there are many, many different reasons why people fast. But when we look at scripture, there is one primary reason why we should engage into fasting. And that primary reason is this, that the primary focus of a primary purpose of fasting is to center ourselves and focus ourselves on God and to worship Him. That ought to be the primary purpose that we should fast. We don't fast in trying to get God to give us something, but we fast to worship God, to focus on God. You know, you look at Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, there are times for partying, there are times for eating, there are times for drinking, but there are also times that God tells us we need to fast and focus on Him. and I don't know where you are in your spiritual walk, maybe now is time that you need to fast and focus on God. Zechariah chapter 7 verse 5 says this, God was speaking through his prophet Zechariah. And he's telling his people, they were regularly fasting, but not with the right attitude. And here's what God said to his people, Zechariah chapter 7 verse 5. Say to all the people of the land and the priests, when you fast and mourn in the fifth month and in the seventh, for these 70 years, was it for me that you fasted? God was asking the people of Israel, when you fast, what is your central purpose? Was it for yourself? Or is it for you to make a decision? Was it for you to get something from God? Or was it worship to God? Was it only focused on God? You know, many times, those of you who have fasted, many times you fasted for different life circumstances. But when we truly take the time to fast and we experience God in that time of fasting, ultimately it should lead us back to who God is. Fasting does something really amazing. This physical act of fasting moves us into a posture of humility. David says, when I wept and humbled my soul with fasting. When we fast, it brings us humility before the Lord. It helps us understand who God really is and who we really are in reflection to who God is. You know, every time when we fast, when you fast, you get hungry. At first, you can't bear with it. As you fast longer, that hunger is going to make it even harder to bear. And it comes to a point when you realize, I can't become the Superman that I think I am. I need food to survive. I need food to sustain what I need to do. I'm not invincible. I am. It makes us feel little. It makes us feel weak. And as we fast, it reminds us that we are not as in control of our lives as we think we are. You learn very quickly that you are just a human being, a physical human being, without the food. And when you start feeling hunger, when you start feeling the dependency that on food, you know, it's easy to say, all of us say, oh yeah, you know, I trust God with everything. You know, I believe that God is in control of my life. Mentally, we can all say that. But until that hunger starts digging in, you're like, oh, and you start seeing people eating food and you get more hungry, that becomes really real. That hunger, you can't fake that hunger. You're going to start feeling helpless. Like, I need food. But you know what we really need? It's God. Because fasting, when we come to a place of humility, realize how limited we are, how small we are, it points us to how great God is. That God is a great God. It brings us to remember that we need to completely depend on God. That we can eat all the food that we want, that we can do all the exercise that we want, but ultimately, without God, our lives means nothing. Who gave us the food? Who gave us the drink? Ultimately, God is the source of life. Matthew chapter 4 is a chapter when Jesus was tempted in the desert. And during that time, Satan tempted him with three different things. One of the things that he tempted him was his hunger. Jesus fasted 40 days. And Satan came and said, how about I'll give you some bread? And this is Jesus' response. Let's read that together. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.
Jesus recognized how important food is. But he understood even greater how important God's word is, who God is for him. That man truly does not live on bread alone. You can eat all you want. Something can still happen to you. We can still get sick. Ultimately, our lives is dependent on who God is. We can put all of our energy, our time, and our jobs, and our schoolwork. But one day, all of us will still pass away. Only God is the source of our lives. And when we fast, one of the things that it does is it reminds us of that. It reminds us of how dependent we need to be on God. Because if you fast for one day, 2 days, and you just drink water, you are going to feel weak. That's how we are as our physical body, and that's how we're in life. Without God, we can keep running. I love the passage. I didn't ask Ben to share the passage. Isaiah 40. It says, even youth will grow tired and weary. And when we fast, we feel it. And it reminds us how much we need to depend on God. Richard Foster, he's a prolific writer, a Christian writer, talks a lot about different spiritual discipline on the topic of fasting. I love how he said this. He says, experiences of fasting is not so much for abstaining from food as we are feasting on God. When we think of fasting, when you fast, you might be thinking, man, I need to eat, I need to drink. But what he said was, actually, this becomes an opportunity for you to feast on God's presence, feast on God's word, feast on God's love. That's what fasting is supposed to do. It helps us to feast, to worship, to focus on God. I don't know how you guys are doing right now in your life. And last week I shared a little bit the need for breakthrough. Because every time when we don't experience breakthrough, we slide back to our comfort place. We slide backward in our walk with Jesus. And as I think about the bombardment, the temptations that I face on a daily basis, in even just parenting my own kids, how quickly my anger can flare up. Man, I need to feast on God. I need to focus on God. I think that's the whole point. The primary purpose for us to fast is to focus and worship God. But I think when we do that, when we start fasting and focusing on it, it does something amazing in our lives. And that leads to the second purpose, secondary purposes, actually, of fasting. When we start focusing on God, when we start fasting, we start understanding who God is, who we are. It opens up a space in our hearts and our mind for God to speak. In our world, many people are speaking to us. There are many, many voices speaking to us. And oftentimes, God doesn't just, use a loudspeaker and speak into our lives. Many times, God's whispering into our lives. And it's so easy that we miss that. We didn't hear that because we're hearing the voices of the world, the voices of people, the voices of our own desires and ambition. When we fast, some of the secondary purpose is that it creates a space, an opening for God to speak into our lives. How many of you play the instruments? A lot of you do. Right? A lot of you do. One of the things you do before you perform, what do you need to do? After you practice, you need to tune your guitar, right? Because after using it for a while, it gets out of tune. We tune our guitar, and if you have a compass, you actually technically should tune your compass as well. Because oftentimes, over a period of time, your compass will start deviating from where true north is. And the same thing with those of you who play music. We tune our instruments every time. And same thing with life. We need to be retuning our lives and let God speak into our lives and what He wants us to do. But like, as I shared earlier, many times what we do is, God, I know what I need to do in my own Christian life, in my walk with You. So You don't need to tell me. I know already. But when we fast, when we focus our eyes on God, when we focus our hearts on God, it opens up a space for us to hear God. It opens a space for God to tune our lives up again to exactly where his heart is, where His will is for us in our lives. And there, let me give you a couple. That's the reason why fasting, you never see in Scripture, fasting is on its own. Fasting is always paired up with prayer. Because prayer is when God speaks to us. We think of prayer as us asking God for things. Prayer can also be how God speaks to us. It might be through Scripture. It might be through a moment of quietness. That's why we should always fast with prayer. When you fast, you should always be praying. Actually, in fact, when you're hungry, that's a good reminder that, hey, God, I need to come before You. It reminds me, I need You. And when we fast and pray, let me give you some examples of what God can do. And this is by no means an exhaustive list, but there are some of the things that, in my own experience, in the experience of others in Scripture, we've seen that these secondary things that God can accomplish in our lives. When we fast, when we pray, God can provide us with guidance and wisdom to make crucial decisions in our lives. You may be looking for a job. You may be looking for a place to move to. You may be looking to go to college. What major to to major in. There are many decisions in our lives, and what we normally do is, let me put down a list of pros and cons, let me consult the people who knows what's good, have that job, have gone to this college. We go to everybody else for wisdom. And many times we come back, we're just as confused as we first started. And during that time, it might be a good time for us to fast and pray. And ask, what does God want me to do? And as we fast and pray, God will speak to that into our lives. Sometimes through our fasting and praying, God can reveal to us the things or people that entangle us. Sins that traps us in, controls us. Many times we think we are not entangled by anything in the world. I think that I'm in control of my life. Internet? No way. I am master of the internet. My iPad, my phone? Yeah, I got it under control. Oh, I got my eating under control too. We think we are master of this world. We can keep everything under control. And for many of us, we all have pet sins that we like to kind of stroke when people don't look. No. Maybe a little lie there, a little greed right there. People don't know. I'm sure if I ask God to forgive me, he'll forgive me. There are many things that are entangling us in this world. And when we fast and when we pray, God starts surfacing some of those things. Ben and I, we meet once a week. And this past week, I didn't ask him, but I'll share this. We were talking a little bit about how to use our time. And one of the struggles that we both have is, when we wake up in the morning, the first thing that we like to do is not wake up and go brush our teeth or get our coffee. The first thing we like to do is grab either my iPad or my phone. It just becomes so second nature to me that, let me check what I have on my email, what I need to do for the rest of my life today. And we were sharing how subconsciously we don't even think about it. It becomes so second nature that it becomes an entanglement in our lives. I didn't even think about, I should probably spend some time with the Lord. That goes like probably second, third, fourth on the list. And when we fast and pray, when we let God create a space in our heart, God starts surfacing some of those things that we don't even know, that we take for granted, that we think we have been under control. Try fasting internet, or except for school use, for next week. You're going to start feeling it. You're going to start feeling how dependent you are on the internet. I think that's when God speaks, you need to be dependent on me. Man does not live on the internet alone, but on every word that comes in the mouth of God, in the best version of the Bible. Okay? So God does it. And I feel like God needs to peel back a layer sometimes to speak to us about those things. And we often think that, I'm okay. You know, last week, many of you had did an assessment of your own spiritual life. You might have felt, I'm doing okay in my spiritual life. But I challenge you. When we start fasting and worshiping God, when you open yourselves up to what God has to say, God will start servicing things in your life. God also can provide assurance and comfort during our times of mourning and loss. There are many examples in the scripture that fasting was done out of mourning and out of crying out to the Lord. And when we start fasting and praying, God starts ministering to us in powerful ways. He starts whispering to us the truth about his love, about his mercy, about his grace, that we will easily overlook when we are consumed with the loss, consumed with the grief that we have. Lastly, he might empower us to serve. Many times we think God just speaks to us about us, but sometimes he can empower us to serve. Let me share with you. The first time I come across someone who actually fasted, and I've been Christians for a while, two, three years by that time. The first time I've actually seen someone fast was my first trip to the Philippines on a mission. I remember the first time we got there on Wednesday, and we met with a missionary that was working there for a while, and she was sharing with us, normally on Wednesday, I fast. I was like, okay, I know what fasting is. Okay, we can do that. And the whole time I thought was, we need to fast because we want to get God's strength to serve the people over there. We want to be effective. We want to preach the gospel. And so I was fast. So I was like, let's do it. And then so we fast for the first week, and then second week, and then third week. And then God started doing something amazing in my heart. Only once a week. We do it Wednesday for 24 hours. And something God does in my heart is this. instead of thinking what I need to do for the people, God started changing my heart about who He is, about His heart for the whole world. That was a key moment in my spiritual walk, that I start understanding that God is the God of the whole world. Previous, up to that point, I keep thinking Christian life is about me, about my church. Even though I decided to go on mission to the Philippines, I was still thinking the same thing. That, oh God, give me power so I can serve these people. But as I continue to fast, and what God does, it reminds me and it challenged me, do you believe that I'm really for the whole world? And through that, I've experienced a breakthrough in my life. And because of that, now I have a much greater perspective about what God is doing in this world. Fasting can do that for us. Obviously, we have seen how fasting is a very powerful discipline. But at the same time, it can be easily misused when we're not careful. Let me share just a couple things as we end. What fasting is not. Fasting is not just an outward action. Fasting is not you got depressed and you're like, oh, I don't feel like eating today. That is fasting, but that is not what God sees as fasting. Fasting is not, I'm too busy today. Guess what? I'm going to skip out on lunch and dinner. I just call it fasting. Okay, fasting is not that. Fasting is a very intentional outward action behavior that shapes the inner posture of our hearts as we focus on God. It's not just something we go, oh, if I skip a meal, let's just call it fasting. Make me feel better about my spiritual life. That's not what fasting is. Fasting is not about impressing others how spiritual we are. When we fast, earlier the passage we saw in Matthew chapter 6, God, Jesus said this, when you fast, don't, this is from the New Living Translation, when you fast, don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face, then no one will notice that you are fasting, except your Father, who knows that you do it in private. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When we fast, we don't need to broadcast it to everybody. Hey, I'm fasting. I'm spiritual. I'm fasting. Or when someone brings you some food, I would love to get it, but God's telling me to fast. So next time, you know, we might not say those words out sometimes. But I think in our hearts, sometimes we do feel that way. Oh, I'm fasting. I'm more spiritual. Actually, it's the other way around. Fasting should bring us to a place of humility. And Jesus says specifically, even how you look, we should take care of how we look so people don't even know that we're fasting. Because that's ultimately between you and God. And lastly, fasting is not a way to earn God's blessing. And many of times it's easy to think that way. God, if I fast for this coming week, can you do this A, B, and C for me? God, if I fast for the next coming month, once a day, God, you know, can work out a deal here. God is not so interested in working out a deal with us, because fasting ultimately is not about just giving things to us. It's not twisting God's arm and saying, if I fast, God will allow me to do this. Fasting should make us understand and help us to trust that God is in control of our lives. So we might have a need, we might have circumstances we need wisdom on, and as we fast, what we do is we're saying, God, I trust that however you answer, you will answer, and that will be the best answer that you have for me. And I'm going to be okay with that. And it's not about negotiating. If I do 2 days, you give me 1 day off. There's nothing like that. Fasting ultimately is about trusting in the Lord, coming before God in worship. I'm kind of running out of time, so let me go through this real quick. I talked a lot about fasting. As I think about this, you know, when I started the message, I talked about how I don't want you to just do something. I'm introducing you the idea of fasting. For many of us, is a foreign idea, or we never experience it. It's going to be difficult, and it's going to feel uncomfortable. It's going to feel awkward, especially those of us who are younger. Why would I fast? I have school. I have PE. I have to do all those things. And I want to just quickly give you some practical ways of fasting. If you want, because of time, I'm not going to go through in detail, but you can talk to me afterwards. I can give you more information on it. But let me tell you that my whole point of this sermon and this message is that be open to what God is speaking to you. Many times we become the driver of our Christian life. But God said, no, no, no. You're worshiping me. I am the Lord, your God. Be open to that. And part of being on a fast is that you are saying to God, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. I want to worship you. So here are some practical things you can write down. How can you do a fast? One thing is set a goal for yourself, meaning ask yourself this. Why am I doing a fast? Is it because everybody else is doing it? Because Ben just talked about this Sunday, so this one I should just do it. Why are you doing a fast? And I've talked about some reasons why, or good reasons why we should do a fast. Second one is this. Make a definite decision, a choice to fast. Make a plan. How often are you going to fast? You're going to fast for one meal, two meals, one day, 2 days. What are you fasting from? Food? And don't say fast from school, okay? Or fast from your child. You know, I don't think God is calling us to fast any of those things. Okay. Prepare yourself spiritually. Come before God. Repent of your sin. Sin is what keeps us away from God and experiencing Him. So when you fast, prepare yourself spiritually. If you have relationship issues with other people, with your parents, work it out with them. So you are unhindered, completely unhindered to hear what God has to say to you. Prepare yourself physically. Fasting, you don't eat, and sometimes if you do an absolute fast, you don't drink water. And so, if you have a health condition, please check with your doctor. And don't just go to your mom and say, you know, I don't feel like eating dinner tonight, so I'm just going to fast. Okay? Talk to your parents. Talk to your family, those of who are adults. So, you know, help them to understand. Share with them. That way they can help you and support you and notice anything happens. When you start your fast, keep it to a schedule. You know, what are you going to do during that week when you fast? You might need to minimize some of your activities. You might need to go take a walk to be intentional about praying to the Lord. And when you stop fasting, don't just go to Korean barbecue all you can eat and just stuff meat in your stomach. You're going to get real sick real quick. I'll suggest you take a little small amount of food, drink some more liquid, and help you to ease back into your normal diet. Lastly, this one is important. Expect results. Not necessarily premeditated results that you want God to do for you, but expect that God will work in your life. God answers prayers. Yes to your prayer request is an answer. No to your request is also an answer to prayer. Later is also an answer prayer. So God does answer prayer, and we need to pray expectantly. And I think one of the things that is easy to do, I fasted, I hear what God wants me to do, and the next day I go out and do it. What I want to encourage you to do is talk to people who are close to you. Share with them what you've learned through that experience of fasting. And help them kind of counsel you and give you wisdom. And I think that's a really important part of it, that we're not a lone ranger in. Okay, so there is the seven steps of. By the way, I didn't come up with this. From a book by Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. You can actually go to the website www.crucrew.org and you can get more information on that. But I thought it's a very useful, practical thing that if some of you are thinking about fasting, that you can use. Okay, as we close, let me just challenge us. As we think about this next 3 weeks, we are going to be talking about breakthrough. And I'm sure that God will start working in your life and talking to you about issues that He wants you to break through. And I want to challenge you to be open to this idea of fasting and praying. And I'm not going to say, everyone, you need to fast. This has to come between you and the Lord. You need to be convicted by the Lord that you need to fast and pray, however long that may be. But I will pray for you that you will be open to this discipline of fasting and praying. Because many of us have considered this an ancient practice. Yet it is very relevant in Scripture, it's obvious in the Scripture, and it's relevant in our life, that God continues to call us to use. And so let me pray for us, and we'll continue our worship service. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for being a living God, a God who is not far away, but a God who lives inside of us. That the Holy Spirit indwells us as believers that want to speak to us. And Lord, and I pray on behalf of all my brothers and sisters here and myself, Lord, I pray that if you want any one of us to fast and pray, Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to speak to us, that we will hear directly from you, our shepherd, our good shepherd. May the sheep hear your voice. Lord, you know the different areas of our lives. You know the place that we need to break through in our walk with you. Lord, we're tired of just plucking and playing and just throw everything in and hopefully one thing will come out and work out well. Lord, we're desperate for your voice. And as we sing earlier, we sing, I surrender, we surrender. Lord, that's the desire of our hearts. And Lord, I pray for those who will make a decision later on to fast and pray. Lord, I pray you will bless their time. I pray that you will give them the focus, give them a sensitivity to your presence. And as they walk away from that period of time, Lord, I pray that they will truly come away saying that they have experienced you and heard from you. So Lord, would you be with us as a church that will continue to abide in you. Continue to live out for you. In Jesus' name we pray.